Stonehouse back deep to our left. DeAndre Carter.
Oh, pressure blocked
on the ground. Picked up to the 10, to the 5, to the end zone for the touchdown on the block punt by the Bears.
Yep, that's how it sounded on Fox Sports. Chasing Big Joe, hour number two. And it was at that moment, for those of you that watch, that like Star Trek like me, the scene of Mr. Data as the Enterprise is crashing where he goes, oh, bleep. That's what I said after that block punt.
That's how I felt. That's such a crazy analogy.
You know who? Jared will get that analogy. That's how I felt.
Oh, man.
We're live at Greystone Golf Club today, the Brent Peterson Golf Tournament for the Preds Foundation and Petey for Parkinson's. We say hello now to the former Titans punter, Brett Kern. And, Brett, I know you've had those situations in your career like Stonehouse had yesterday, and you probably thought what I actually said out loud when it happened in those situations. But what's up? What did you see on that play?
Well, I'm sure there's a lot of people at Greystone right now hitting that little white thing as hard as they can after yesterday. So, taking out their frustration and stress. But, I mean, it was one of those things where, they were in a little eight-man rush and they tried to window dress, you know, the two fours, which, you know, the PP and Morgan Cox are responsible for the fours. Did like a little shove loop to kind of take the eyes, of everybody else, because the shove loop is really, really hard to protect, especially on Morgan. You got a guy coming down, pretty much leaves him defenseless. But in this case, Dr. Gibby, unfortunately, his three was straight up over him, and Gibby just didn't set. He didn't kick slide back. You kick slide two steps back to get your depth. That way you can get in front of your man if he tries any type of move or anything like that. And unfortunately, Gibby just didn't. He didn't set, and the guy got on his outside peck, won the leverage, and Stonehouse was, I think it was about a 1-2-5 handling time, about a 2-0, 2-0-5 get off. Which for me, I was at about a 2-0-2 to 2-0-3, pretty consistently throughout my career, and so it wasn't on him. I just feel for him because really his last seven punts or so, he's had three of them blocked, and that's just really tough mentally. I texted him after the game. I said, just keep playing, man. Like, you had a really good game, first game back, to come back from an injury like that. And, I remember, I think it was 2018 or somewhere in there where we went to Miami. They returned a punt for a touchdown. The next week we go to Houston, return a punt for a touchdown, back-to-back weeks. And, that just gets in your head because you're thinking, golly, I'm back there. Is this punt going to get returned? I feel like I have to be perfect. So he's a strong kid. He'll battle through it. And, he's still the weapon that he'll always be.
Brett, when you're back there, can you feel when they're coming at you? I know that's kind of a stupid kind of question, but when you see 8-9 guys off the line of scrimmage, I mean, what does that do? Like, oh, my God, I got to hurry up, or just do as I normally do? What goes through your mind when you know they're coming after you?
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot starts throughout the week, just in your film study, your film prep. Some teams love the window dress. Even the first one that Chicago did, right, they brought in the gunner. To make it look like they were going to do a 9-man rush, and then somebody from the box pops out, to go cover that that gunner out there. So a lot of window dressing. Some teams window dress and never rush. Kansas City, Dave Tobe is notorious of doubling your gunners. So there's only a 6-man box, which is the reason why in that ASU championship game we ran that fake, through to Amani Hooker, because we had the numbers, right? And so you're open to fakes like that when you double gunners a lot. And then there's some teams, New Orleans, last year, Rizzy, I mean, that guy brings the house. He'll bring a 9-man box, 10-man brush. Like, he doesn't care, right? And so he's pretty much saying, I'm going to outnumber you. Good luck trying to block all these guys, right? So, you got your film prep throughout the week, and you kind of know going forward as you're practicing, hey, these guys love to bring it. These guys tend to bring it to my kick side, right? My kick leg. Some do here, some do it to set up returns. And my thing was, you just try to stay consistent in your operation, your get off. If you keep that going, then you got to trust the guys in front of you, right? They're professionals too. They're good at what they do. And sometimes guys make mistakes, and some mistakes are worse than others.
Brett Kern is with us. So, speaking of mistakes, I think we all watch Will yesterday, and there were definitely some mistakes, and there were some that were costly that ended up, I think, losing them the game. But with all that said, when you watch that, and then you guys go in the locker room and you kind of have your time and you're all talking, what are those conversations like? Because obviously you don't want to throw it all on him. It's a team game. But right. What are the conversations like with the quarterback, and also how can you help build him back up where he can have a rebound the next week?
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure, you know, Will went around to everybody, especially on that defensive side, and just thanked them for their effort, because the defense, you know, I mean, to give up 148, you know, net yards against, you know, that offense on paper, right? Because I think if you take away Will's mistake on that interception, and, you know, the first half, he was, you know, if it wasn't there, he's throwing in the dirt. It was, you know, just looked a little bit more composed. And then, to me, I think Dylan Raiden's getting hurt. You notice that Chicago started bringing a lot more pressure after that. And for some reason, I think Will just felt like he had to make some plays, because he always reserved the right to punt, right? Just throw the ball away. Ball's going to be on the 35. There's a really good chance Stonehouse is probably going to hit a touchback with his leg and being able to flip the field. And then now you got to have Chicago drive 80 yards, right? So is this something that, you know, with him trying to make a play, is this just a one-off? Is this just, you know, is this tendencies for him? You know, it's kind of like that person that you're speeding, right? And you drive by the cop and it's like, oh, I'm okay. And then all of a sudden, the one time you get burned, you know, you get pulled over for the ticket, right? Is this the time where it's like, okay, wait a second, I can't make these plays because it just cost my team the game, right? And hit the other thing too, like if you take away that pick, like who played better? Would you, I mean, Will or Caleb? Because Caleb, I mean, you know, first start for him did not look like your first round pick, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody's, they're going to the Super Bowl, right? And so Will, it's his 10th start and his first start under a new coordinator. So it's going to take time, but I'm sure he probably went around to the defense, told them, hey, you know, I'm sorry. Like, you guys played an unbelievable game. Like, let's go get it next week. And, you know, guys are encouraging him. That locker room seems too tight for guys just to be pointing fingers already after week one.
All right, good point. Talking to former Titans punter Brett Kern. Brett, back to the block punt. When that happened, did you jump off your couch? I mean, what was your reaction? You're just like, oh, no. Was that what went through your mind?
I texted him right away. So.
Damn you, Chase. Leave him alone.
I mean, my first reaction was I was just hoping that Stonehouse was okay. Just knowing mentally probably what he's going through, you know, last year getting, you know, obviously his season ending because of a block punt. And so to start the season – really two years in a row now with, you know, the opening week and, you know, with the block punt. So, you know, like we were talking about last week, special teams, you know, it made a difference in some of these games. And unfortunately, you know, for the Titans, giving up a 66-yard kickoff return, you know, the block punt, you know, they had two that went against them, which is unfortunate. That's really, really hard to overcome. And I know statistically, if you give up a block punt and it's returned for a touchdown, your chances of winning the game are only around 12-13%, but they still had the chance to do it, right? And that's the thing. And so you can glass half full, glass half empty. Like for me, it's week one. You should have won the game, right? And I hope Will can learn from, hey, you know what? Just take the sack, just go down, take it. You reserve the right to punt, get rid of it. Let's live to fight another day, right? And you had it, and you could have stolen on the road, especially in the opener. But you know, is what it is, and special teams just needs to pick it up and be better next week.
So if you're the Jets and you're looking at what happened to break down the punts yesterday, what are you looking at? I mean, what would you work on in practice this week so that doesn't happen again, Brett?
I mean, to me, it's just Gibby, you know, working on his technique. That's all. It's not like they got out-schemed or, you know, anything that really happened that you're like, golly, how do we fix this? And you're scratching your head. I mean, it's just a technique thing, right? And that's something that you can work on. And I promise you, Gibby's if my guess is, they're probably in workouts right now, and Gibby's probably going straight out to the field with a bag and working on kick slides. So it's something that's very fixable. Other than that, protection looked great, right? And so it's just a technique thing that I know he can fix.
Talking to Brett Kern, former Titans punter, here on the program. So you mentioned the defense, and that's the hard part. Like, when you see one side of the ball, I mean, they weren't perfect. I mean, they're going to make mistakes too, but the defense did their job. I mean, they gave up nine, or was it three field goals, 9 points, something like that. So what are those moments like when you just, like, things weren't good on teams, things weren't good on offense. You look at the defense, they did their job. I mean, is that – just, are you apologizing, or are they hanging with you? Like, what are those conversations like?
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I think that locker room's too tight. That group's too close. You got, you know, too many veterans to start pointing fingers and whatnot. And, you know, I think guys realize, like, I mean, we're there. We should have won it. And what can we do to the next time we're in this situation? How can we fix what we did, right? Obviously, we'll, you know, looking at the film and realizing I can't underhand or throw whatever he did right to get rid of it and to not get that thing out of bounds. You know, that's fixable, right? You know, so I think it's just a matter of looking at the mistakes and being able to correct them. And, you know, it's going to be a great opportunity to play the Jets next week in the opener. I mean, it's not easy going out Monday Night Football. You're in, you know, a three-hour time change. You're going to get back, you know, Tuesday morning bright and early. Probably some of these guys are going to get off the plane, rush home, and take their kids to school without sleeping. you know, and then you got to get back on the road to come down here for our opener, which is, it's going to be crazy, right? So I think you just, like I said, look at the film, you correct it. Defense is like, hey, we got you. We can go do this again because this is what we hang our hat on. This is how we're going to play. 148 yards total to this team that on paper, you know, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Swit, like, you know, this is what we did to them. We made Caleb feel extremely uncomfortable. Longest pass was 13 yards. I can't tell you how many passes were batted down, right? That maybe next week one of those passes turns into now an interception that we get, right? How many balls were batted up and they were just up there that, you know, hopefully you can get. And then, like, I mean, Caleb took a 19-yard loss on a sack that took him out of field goal range, right? Just totally stopped the drive. So, unfortunately, that mistake by Caleb wasn't as costly as what Will was. But, you know, both of them overthrew, you know, their receivers, DJ Moore. You know, Will had Calvin Ridley open in the end zone. You know, he had his man beat twice and he just overthrew him both times. Well, one he underthrew, the other one he overthrew. But it's growing pains of having young quarterbacks. Like, it's, you know, like I said, Will's in his 10th game. Caleb's in his first. And that's just what you're going to see. Not everybody can be Patrick Mahomes and wait 3 years on the bench and come off and, you know, be rip-roaring ready to go. So that's just what it is. It's growing pains. You just hope that they can learn from their mistakes and have a short-term memory and move on and get ready for the Jets.
So you played for up until Brian Callahan, you played for every coach that the Titans had. So you went through, you know, you got there with Jeff Fisher and then Munch's first game, Wisenhunt, Vrabel, Malarkey. You know, it's one game. It's the first game, especially as a rookie head coach. They have to learn and kind of get the feel of how it goes. Was there ever times where, especially as you kind of grew into a leadership role, that, you know, maybe he, you know, if you were asked, that you kind of gave advice to the head coach of like, hey, I, you know, maybe do this, or I saw this, or what were those conversations like, or did they happen at all?
No, I mean, I didn't have any, you know, conversations with, I mean, I really didn't know what the offense, I understood concepts and all that kind of stuff, but play calling and all that, I mean, I had no idea what was going on, so. You know, a lot of times on a Monday, you come back in, especially for me with a special teams coordinator, you just sit down, you watch the film, you know, and then as years, like I'm sure Morgan, you know, and Nick, obviously those guys being in years 15, 16, you know, the veterans that they are, they could probably sit down with Colt and they just watch the film together and, hey, what do you think? What did you see? You know, anything like that, just to go through the game together. So, I mean, that does happen. I'm sure we'll sit down with Brian and the guys and just talk about, hey, man, when you saw this, you know, what did you feel? What were you thinking? And just go through his mind, you know, mentally just to see what he was thinking. And if there's any way that Brian and, you know, his staff can say, okay, hey, we're in this situation, like, again, like, let's stay away from these, you know, sets of play calls, right? Let's not get in this formation. Let's not do this, right? He feels more comfortable maybe with screens, maybe with play actions, whatever it might be, then, you know, than a three-step or seven-step drop back, right? And so I'm sure there's a ton of communication that you go through because everybody's learning, right? You know, preseason, like I said, it's great. I thought they played well in the preseason, but it's not the regular season where the real bullets are flying, starters are playing. You know, like I said, a guy goes down injured, your starting guard, and you bring in a backup, and all of a sudden, hey, it's time to bring the house, right? And I'm sure Will saw some blitzes and some pressures in that line together that they've never seen before, right? So today's just a day you go in, you watch the film, you pick each other's brains, you go through the process of trying to get better and maybe what he felt he was comfortable with and maybe things that he didn't feel comfortable with. And then you know, install that into the game plan for the Jets.
Brett, you did such a great job in the National Football League. You're one of the best punters who ever played. And, you know, you're great for flipping the field. We were the Titans. And I got to think, not every punt went perfectly. Not every snap went perfectly.
Oh, absolutely
but,
not.
But I got to ask, did you ever climb anyone's butt on the sidelines? And you're so nice and you're so good. I got to think at one point you jumped somebody. Hey, why didn't you do this or do that? Did you ever do that?
I can honestly say no. I was not. My thinking is, you know, I would maybe come over to a guy and be like, hey, man, what happened? Right? Because in my shoes, you know, the Lord's blessed me with the ability to be able to punt a football, right? I couldn't snap, right? I couldn't play a gunner. I couldn't play right wing. So I'm not going to come after somebody and tell them how to do their job when I've never done it before, right? That was just kind of my philosophy. I kind of usually waited. If something did happen, I would kind of wait a couple plays, let everybody kind of cool down, and then I'd go over and be like, hey, man, I just want to, you know, I felt some pressure, you know, from that right side. What happened with your guy? Like, you want to go watch the film? And just kind of approach it in a way
yeah.
where I'm not attacking them or anything like that. So, you know, if I was trying to down a punt inside the five, and, you know, I remember one time Dane Cruikshank, you know, made a great job, you know, beating his jammer, got down there, you know, and his foot was on the goal line. So now he's a part of, you know, the end zone. And, you know, he got the ball. We would have had it on the two, right, instead of, you know, a touchback. And so was I mad? Absolutely. I mean, I felt like I wanted to go over to the sidelines and slam my helmet because it just, you know, it was great execution. But I didn't. I just waited, came over to him and said, hey, man, you know, what happened? And he's like, man, I lost track of where I was at, right? I thought I was on the two, but it was the goal line. Okay, man, cool. You're good, right? So, yeah, I never really got on anybody. There were times I probably wanted to, but I just decided to take the route of just kind of letting everybody cool down a little bit and then kind of having more of a normal conversation just to see what was going on.
Did you – and I know it's a little bit different because you're focused on your thing, but, like, you know, there were a couple of shots of Will yesterday, and he's on the sideline, and you can tell he's animated, and he's not necessarily mad, but he's trying to, you know, motivate his guys. You see it on defense of, like, you know, guys react in a different way. Did you like that, though, like seeing that on the sideline of you have that one guy that he's going to be fiery, he's going to yell, he's going to scream, and then you see how the guys react? I mean, did you enjoy seeing that when you played?
Well, I mean, it just shows that he cares. I mean,
yeah.
I'd rather have that than a guy just go over, sit on the bench, you know, throw an iPad down and just sit there. You know, so, I mean, he cares, right? I know he's trying to lead this team, and he's growing. Like, he's trying to figure it out, right? Like I said, it's his 10th start. Really, his first opener, his first opening game start, which is a lot. There's a lot of emotion. There's a lot of expectations on him. And he cares. And so he's just trying to motivate the guys, figure it out. And I think as he grows, as the season progresses, you know, he's going to learn what to do and what not to do. And so whatever he feels comfortable with, you know, as far as challenging the guys and managing his emotions, right, it's going to take time. And I understand, like, people want results right now. And I get it. You're in the NFL. Like, results should happen right now. But it's with quarterbacks, I think it's different. It's harder, right? The guys that have sat behind guys, you know, I think Tom Brady said, like, these guys need to sit and they need to take their time to get in, right? Tom was able to sit. Patrick Mahomes, Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers, like, these guys were able to sit behind other quarterbacks and just watch, you know. Not everybody has that luxury. And some guys, a lot of guys are thrown into the fire, and you hope that what comes out is that pure, refined gold. And in most cases, it's not. You're right. There's definitely a lot of quarterbacks that don't come out as that pure, you know, that pure gold that comes out of the fire. So I think it's just a growing process for him. And, you know, each week you just hope that he takes that game and the mistakes that he made, and he just learns from them, and then he builds upon them week by week.
Yeah, for sure. Brett, good stuff as always. We appreciate it. Hopefully we're talking about a win next week, but we will see.
All right. Enjoy the golf course.
No, we will. It's beautiful out here for sure. Brett Kern, former Titans punter, joining us on the show. He'll join us every Monday at 10 o'clock for his full breakdown of the Titans game. We'll get back to your reaction at 615-737-1025. Our phone and text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. It's Chase and Big Joe, presented by the Omni Nashville Hotel. 1025, 106.3 The Game.